Let's dig in here today. If you brought your Bibles, I want you, if you would, to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we are going to be digging into a large portion of Scripture that I pray places a large impact on your life today. I'm certain, have read this many times before, this infamous story. I know, have preached this many times before. I actually went back to my notes and looked, and I've preached this message, not this message, but out of this portion of Scripture, I preached four different times at this church. And I took our staff team out to Dallas a week and a half ago, and we heard a message by a guy named Bill Cornelius on this Scripture, and that message really influenced what I'm about to say here to you today. And so I'm thankful for Bill Cornelius and his influence in my life there in that service. So I want to give honor and credit to him for some of the things that are going to be talked about here today. But the title of this message here today, if I could put one to it, it would be called Passing the Test. Passing the Test. Let's look at this. Verse 1 here of Genesis 22 says, sometime later, God, now let's all say the next word together. Tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. I want us, if we would, just to look at Abraham's response here. And know that many times the day you answer God's call for your life, whether it be following him, whether it be pursuing the dream that he placed in your heart to pursue, whether it be deciding to make a difference in this world, that is the day where so often the test begins. Let me tell you something, life is chock full of tests. How many would say that is just so encouraging to hear this morning? Amen. Man, and many of these tests are brought to us by or allowed in our life by God. Somebody told me early on in my Christian walk, a dear friend, that God will always have a fight for you to fight. That God will always have a test for you to pass. And at first I'm like, that sucks. Just being real here, because that sounds like a mean God in my opinion. Because I hate tests. And I don't think I'm alone in that thinking. Amen. How many would say when you went to school, the worst day of school was when the teacher went to the chalkboard and wrote what? Test day. Welcome to test day. How many love test day? I hated it too. Amen. Because it was, I think I may have, hold on. Sorry, guys. We are a work in progress here. I don't want to lift my shirt up too much. I don't want to create less problems in the church right now. I'm just watching out for you. Amen. I know. The thing came on. All right. I think I'm good. All right, I'm good. Sorry, guys. I absolutely hated test day. Because how many know it's test day where there is challenge? Challenge in what you know. Challenge in how much you know. The relationship. The strength you have with the subject matter at hand is tested. It is challenged. And I hate that with an absolute passion. I hate it when there's challenge in my life. But back to my dear friend who told me that, right? That God always has a fight for you to fight, that he always has a test for you to pass. He was right. And I have found that the purpose, however, to the test, that the reason for the fight, the reason for the challenges that so often find their place in my life isn't to torture me. It isn't because he was a mean God like I originally had thought. It's actually quite the opposite, that he is here to prepare me, that the reason for the test, the reason for the fight is to give my life, to ensure that my life has the strength it needs against the things that will make my life weak. How many know God doesn't want us walking around this life weak and stupid? He wants us walking around this life prepared and strong. Thus, the need for tests. So here's my question today. What is your test? Everyone in this room knows what I'm talking about. Everyone in this room has experienced or may right now be in a test, a time of challenge inside of your life. What is your test? If you're following along with us on the app today, there's a little add your notes section to the question, and I would encourage you to hit that and then write in your challenge or write down on a piece of paper what your challenge is. What is your test? And maybe you don't feel comfortable writing it down right now because maybe your test is sitting right next to you. Amen. And I get that. Amen. But what is your test? What is it? You're like, don't look because it's you. Amen. With your test in mind, though, we want you to pass it. We want you to overcome it. We want you to ace it. And so with that test in mind, let's track back over to Abraham's test here in Genesis. Right? He just said, here I am. Now, verse 2 says this. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, let's say his name together, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. I want to stop there. Because did I forget to mention that God's tests many times do not arrive at a place of reason and logic? At a place where the test makes sense. What? God, you must be crazy. Coming all up in here asking for that. Like, did I hear you right? Did I hear you right? Take your son, your only son. You mean the boy that you miraculously gave to me? The boy in whom, Genesis 17:4, wherein you said, I would be the father of many nations? Kind of hard to be a father of many nations when you're not a father. You know what I'm saying? Journey Church, listen to me. The path of your test always seems to lead you away from his promise. How many know what I'm talking about? Sacrifice him there, he said. Kill him like an animal. Give him back to me. I want him. Why is it that God so many times asks back what it is that he gave us? Why is it so many times that God asks to give us back to him what he's already given to us? I'll let that sink in just for a moment. I mean, it can't be because he has a never mind personality, right? Where he here you go. Never mind, I want it back now. Right? I mean, I've given things away that it's like, I really want that back. You know, that's me. I've been there before. But I don't see that applying to God at all. I don't think it's because he's got a never mind personality. Listen to me. God's tests are always about your faithfulness to him. I mean, look at the word inside of faithfulness. Look at that word, F-A-I-T-H. The reason I'm asking you to look at that word is that is the only way, right there, that word is the only way that you or I will or can get anything done in God's kingdom. That word is the only route to your dream. That word is the only route to your healing. That word is the only route to your miracle. That word is the only route to your answer. That word. Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask in prayer, Jesus says, if you will receive if you have faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is powerful. Faith is doing life with God, relying on no one else but God to do with you what it is He said He would do in you. The fact is, friends, without God, I can do nothing. Now, for those of you that know me, you know I can brag on my abilities that I have inside of myself. I mean, look at what, I've got these abilities. But without Him, those abilities are not possibilities. You see, if I had a bouncy ball here, but I got one for you here on the screen, a bouncy ball, it was created with the ability to bounce, but it does not have the ability to bounce on its own. It needs, it requires, it must have an outside force to pull out those abilities and to put those abilities into play. You get the parallel here. Faith, friends, places His force. Faith places His strength. Faith places His influence on my abilities. Paul recognized this in Philippians, wherein he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength to do it. Meaning, without God, I can do nothing. And God will at times put a test in our life to see where our faithfulness sits at. It's not a test to take you back, which I think some of us, many of us, think when we're in it. It's a test to push you forward. I know I told you that you would be the father of many nations. God knows what He said. Maybe Abraham was in a place where God needed to do that in his life. Maybe Abraham was at a place where he thought he had everything he needed to fulfill that promise. And maybe God saw it important that he see the route to that promise does not rest solely on the perimeters and the abilities of your son Isaac. That maybe God is saying to Abraham, I need you to see that it is me and me alone that will get you to that place of many nations. It is me that will take you there. Don't ever lose sight of that. How many times is God trying to convince us to trust Him? How many times is He working to convince you and I to trust Him? I don't know about you, but in my life, it's a lot. How many times is God standing over the edge of our life like Aladdin was to Jasmine? Right? Just saying, what? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? I love that scene. Do you have that movie clip? Can you just put that on there, Darren, if you would, of just, oh, this right here is the scene of scenes, right? Where he's just standing over the edge of this piece of carpet and he says, do you trust? This is such a romantic scene in moviedom. I love it so much. I'm telling you, when I first saw it, man, my wife and I were just newly kind of married and I just, I'll admit it, I don't care. I wept during this scene right here. I wept. Now, I wept like a man would weep who didn't want to see his wife cry. You know what I'm talking about, guys. Where you're just controlling your breathing, you know, you're like, you're trying to breathe silently, and all of a sudden you're like, and the air's dry here, dry in here, dry. You know, that was me. Wherein he's just sitting over there, right? Do you trust me? And then all of a sudden the infamous, oh, what the heck, I can show you the world, right? Shining, shimmering, splendid, tell me, princess, when did, right? Oh, I love that song. But here's the fact of the matter is, you can't have the song without the lady jumping on the flying piece of carpet. You don't get the song without the step of faith that she took to jump on a flying piece of carpet. But when she took the step, you get the song, friends. Here's my point. Number one, if you want to pass the test, your test requires your trust. Your test requires your trust. You want to pass the test on test day? Trust. We got to move on. Verse number three. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about on the third day. Did you just see that bottom line right there? On the what? On the third day. Meaning this journey isn't just down the street. This journey is not just right over there. Friends, this is a journey that Abraham is going that has taken now 3 days. I don't know if you know this, but from Beersheba, where Abraham's being spoken to Moriah, where it's where God is telling him to go to, is 50 miles, 50 miles. On the third day, it says, so if you divide this 50-mile journey by 3 days, that is 16.6 miles a day. Now, add to that a 120-year-old pair of legs, because that's how old Abe is here. Dude is old. And you have quite a scene that has been unfolded here for us to see in Scripture. I don't know about you, but I look at that and I see impressive obedience. I see insane obedience. Number two, you want to pass the test. Your test requires your butt. Your test requires your butt. Let's all say that together to punch the awkward. Your test requires your butt. Let me say what I'm about to say right here. You will never get to a place of greatness without blood, sweat, and tears. It takes work to get to a place of greatness. This idea that God does everything for us is a complete fallacy. God is not interested in doing everything for you as much as he's interested in doing everything with you. Verse 3 says that he set out for the place God had told him about. Beersheba to Moriah. Darren, do you have that geographical snapshot of that path? This right here, I was able to get an image of the path that Abraham took. This right here is what you see. Right here, this is just part of the journey in that 3 days over the span of that 50 miles that he walked. You can't get a Honda Sonata over there. This is a camel's pace, friends. This was a journey that was taken here. This right here is what it takes to get to God's promise for your life. This right here is what it takes to get your answer from him. This right here is what it takes to get to that dream. If we just stay here in our present and ask God to give it to us here, all we're essentially doing is asking to God, bless my laziness. Bless my laziness. Friends, don't ask God to bless your laziness. It takes blood, it takes sweat, it takes tears to get to the place God called us to go. What is it that you want? What is it that he's telling you to do? Where is it that he's calling you to go? It takes and requires your butt to get there. If you're struggling with addiction and God is calling you to a place of freedom, no, to get to that place of freedom, it's not going to happen on the wings of convenience. You've got to work. We had a guy in this church, Reagan Summer, attended this church for a year and a half and could not shake the addiction in his life to substance abuse and to drugs. Many of you know, he walked around this place he was getting to a level where he was coming here high, coming to a level where he was just acting crazy. And he was getting to a point where we're just like, man, you are starting to become a danger, not to yourself, but to others. And I'm going to have to ask you to make some extreme decisions. And you need to think that coming here is a privilege. It's not a right. And if you're a danger to the people, I'm going to ask you to stop coming. How many know? If you're to a place where you are just, you're being asked to kind of take a break from Journey Church. That's pretty, you know. And it got to a point where I said, listen, you got to make a decision. God has called you to a place of freedom, and right here is not where it's at. In tears, he's like, what am I supposed to do? I was like, you need to go to a place to get the real help you need to where you can make that journey. I'll buy your plane ticket, and I'll send you to the Dream Center in Los Angeles if you'll go. And we just got a picture not too long ago of him just this past month at the Dream Center in Los Angeles, where he has been cranking away for the last several months. And I've seen his letters, and he's right there in the center. And let me tell you something, as somebody that knows this guy, I went to school with this guy, that right there is a smile that he has waited to smile for years. How many are thankful for somebody that is working to head to the place of freedom? That right there is a smile of freedom. But he had to go and work to get there. I get correspondence from him, his letters. And he is in tears many times as God is just peeling layer after layer off of his old ways and installing a new mind into him. So proud of that young man. How many know you got to work your butt off to pass the test? Somebody say a good amen. I had a church planner tell me the other day, Pastor Jesse. Wow, Journey Church, you're so lucky. He smiled as he says it, but I didn't smile back. I wanted to punch him in his face. So lucky. Because I just got off the heels of this building program where I wasn't able to spend the time with my kids that I wanted to spend with. Wasn't able to see my wife as much. Like I said, I told you there were times where I was so stressed I had to leave just to smell my baby. Just to smell her. Like, all right, I can get through it. She was the drug. And I watched our staff team bleed and sweat and cry for this place. I watched volunteers in this place bleed and sweat and cry and give of their time. And people even taking days off, people just coming and bringing me. I watched the collective works of a church that works so hard to get to where we are today that I sit there and I said, luck had nothing to do with it. I said, I wish I had that. You want Journey Church results? You need to take Journey Church efforts, and you'll get Journey Church results. See, everybody wants great efforts or great results without the great effort. Got to move on. I don't want to punch the person anymore. Amen. But I just know, how many know, your test requires your butt. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham looked up. Right, we're on the third day, this is day 3. Into this journey. Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Number 3, your test requires your worship. You want to pass the test? You better worship. Verse 5, he worshiped, friends. He worshiped. Worship must be a part of the culture of your journey. Somebody asked me one time, Jesse, what is worship? And this was my response, and I'd never really given this response before, and it was weird, but it's just what I felt I could give in the moment. It was this: worship, to me, is closing your eyes. And they're looking at me like, huh? I don't get it. And I said, because if I look around, I'll drown. How many know what I'm talking about? There's so many things that can cause us to doubt, bring doubt to us. We can see defeat to our left, to our right, to our front, to our back. Worship is closing your eyes. How many times have I had to just close my eyes to find the strength just to take another step? Worship has brought me through. I've had to leave troubled circumstances to go find a place just to sing, just to pray, just to praise, just to get into his presence. You want to pass the test. Your test requires your worship. We got to move on. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood. How many are learning something right now in this scripture? Amen. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Wow, I mean, just get the visual here. This is insane. And he himself, talking about Abraham, carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Stop. I want to stop here and say this. Your test, number four, requires your leadership. Your test requires your leadership. See, in verse 6, it says that Abraham himself carried the fire. Now, when I first read that, I'm like, how do you carry fire? That's kind of weird. But when I look into the scripture and the history, he's actually carrying a torch that has fire to do the offering. He's carrying the torch. When I see somebody carrying a torch, I see somebody ahead of the pack. I see somebody leading. Let me tell you something, friends. Nobody is going to do this for you. You have to lead the way to your dream. You have to lead the way to your healing. You have to lead the way to your breakthrough. You have to lead the way to God's calling for your life. You have to lead the way to your miracle. Allow me to say this in Lincoln County vernacular. Ain't nobody gonna do it for you. Nobody is gonna do it for you. You've got to do it. That's a word for somebody in this room. Your task requires your leadership. We got to move on. Verse 7. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, he says this, Father, yes, my son. What a scene here. This is crazy what we're reading. This is what Isaac says. The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? That's a good question. Isaac's getting a little eyebrow raised there. Huh. Dad's been acting kind of weird. We're going to sacrifice something, and I don't see something to sacrifice. Where is it? You know? Look at Abraham's answer. I mean, because how many know Isaac's question is a legit question? We would all be asking that question. Matter of fact, I'd be asking it several times. I'd say Jesse stopped and said, hey, what's going on? You know, I would just want to know. That's a question. But look at Abraham's answer. He says this. This is what comes out of his mouth to such a normal logistical question. God himself will what? God himself will what? One more time, Journey Church. God himself will the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. I love that answer. God will provide. You want to pass the test. Answers like that need to come out of your mouth when you experience the questions of the world around you that you don't have answers to. How many know we need to be that in our lives? We need that answer coming out of our mouths as Christians more often when we get the questions of the world around us. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get to that place? Things have gone wrong every day in your life for the last 30 days. Haven't you seen the disaster? I mean, how are you even going to get to the place God is telling you about? Your life's a mess and you're going to talk to me about a dream? How are you going to get there? How many know out of our mouths in that moment need to be God will provide? How are you going to get that healing? How are you going to get there? I don't see anybody. God will provide. You just lost your job. How's that? God will provide. You're going to tell me your kids are going to end up loving God? Look at them. They're messes right now. God will provide. How many know out of the mouths of the people of God in the face of adversity need to be God will provide? Christians need to hear this. As I read your Facebook posts, I don't even know how I have as many friends as I do after I preach stuff like this. Amen. But I see it. People of God just whining, victimizing themselves inside of the drama of their own circumstances as if they're not enough. And God's word says you're more than enough. How about instead of the junk and drama you put out there, why don't you put in that status, God will provide. Amen. What did Abraham do in that moment? What did Abraham do? You know I say that with love, right? What did Abraham do in that moment? God will provide. Where did he get that? Listen, Abraham resourced back to what God said to him in Genesis 17:4. I will make you the father of many nations. I gave you this boy. He will be used. And he used that, watch me now, to answer a very difficult question on that test. God will provide. He said he would. Let me tell you this, Journey Church, study God's word. Study. If you study this, you get your face in this book, and you will have every resource you need to get to where he's calling you to go. But it takes your study to get there. There's a story of a college professor who was approached by a female student the day before the big exam. And she said to him, Professor, I'm not ready for the test. Is there anything I could do to maybe pass? And the professor said, anything? And she said, anything. And the professor said, anything? And she said, anything. And he said, will you study, for crying out loud? Get up out of my classroom coming with that. Like, why is it in the world that we don't go after what God is telling us to go? Why are we always pursuing shortcuts? How many know? You got to study to pass the test. Amen. Will you study? Amen. Like, we just do that. Why don't we do what it takes to get to success? Here's the thing, Journey Church. You need this book to pass your test. And here's the thing about God's test. They're open book. That's the best kind of test you can possibly take. That is Mr. Reed driver's ed test. How many know what I'm talking about when I say Mr. Reed Troy High School driver's ed test? That dude, I loved his test because he said, you want to know the answers to the test? They're in the book. And you can read the book. What? And I remember we got there and he just would prop those legs up on that desk, those huge hairy legs, sit those things on that desk. And he's like, all right, here's your test. And the test questions were verbatim what was in the book. And so you just spent, and it was like page by page. It was in perfect order. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. It's like the only A I ever got. You know, I'm like, this is the greatest. And I remember I had a student next to me, and they're like, I don't know the answer to question number 4. You know, I was like, And I remember Reed just goes, everything you need to know is in the book. And then turn around and walk to the desk. What an answer. Everything you need to know to pass the test is in the book. It's all right there. Number 5, your test requires your study. Let me tell you something. The enemy will always attempt to take you away from this book. It's the only book when you pick up, the phone rings. I know people, they can get through a novel in a weekend, distraction free, but you pick this thing up, the phone rings right away. It's the only book, the moment you pick it up, the doorbell rings. The only book, the moment you pick it up, something happens in your life in the context of a distraction. Am I the only one? Verse 9, when they reached the place God had told him about, now he's there. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Wow, he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. This is insane. Verse 10, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay, look at this, his son. Can I just ask this question? where is God at in this moment? Because if you look at the scene of Scripture, God hasn't spoken since verse 1. Where is he? One thing I've learned here is something that I think we have all been taught going to school. Because many of you, I feel right now, are wondering where God is in your life right now. Maybe you're saying, God, where are you? I haven't heard you speak since way back when about what it is that I'm going through. And here's what I've learned. The teacher is always silent during a test. When he's not talking, he's testing. And I don't want you to mistake his silence for his separation, because he has not separated himself from you one millimeter. The teacher is always silent during a test. Some of you are just waiting on God, but God's waiting on you to be obedient with what it is he told you to do originally. Be obedient. How hard is it for Abraham to do what he just did right there? Can you imagine? I cannot imagine. Come here, Javen. I cannot imagine having the strength to follow through such a command. But he's doing this. Where are you, God? Where are you, God? When God is not talking, he's testing, he's strengthening you, he's readying you, he's pulling abilities out of you that you never thought you could ever do. Look at verse 11. Right when he is to that place of obedience, I love this right here, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. How I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Wow. What you see as your problem is actually your promotion. What you see as your problem, let me say that again right now, is actually your promotion. What we need to do, friends, is learn to have faith in what we do not see. What we need to understand is without the test, you'll never become what God wants. What we need to understand is that people use tasks to get things done, but God uses tasks to get people done. You got to understand, he uses things to help us, ready us, strengthen us, prepare us, to help us see what it is that we never saw in our verse 1, what we never saw at the starting block. God uses processes to prepare us, friends. Verse 13, Abraham looked up after this amazing scene has just unfolded. And it says, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns around thorns. And it says he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering. I love this next part. Instead of his son. So Abraham called that place the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, this is scripture, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. On the what? Mountain. I'm glad it doesn't say in the valley where they started. On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Man, there are many historians, check this out, it's not verified, but there are many historians who are connecting this location to the location Christ was crucified. In fact, this entire scene is a foretelling of the greatest love story that could ever grace humanity. God loves you so much. He sent Christ, His only Son, to remove anything that would stand in the way from you doing life without Him. He loves you, friend. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. And what I love about this story is that Abraham did not allow anything to get in his way between him and God. Imagine Isaac's feelings toward Abraham in this moment. Imagine the boy's feelings about his father. That's extreme disappointment. And that's just being nice. Abraham, could you imagine your own child looking at you while you obeyed him to God about what he's... Abraham didn't care. He was more concerned with what God thought about him than what his boy thought about him. And parents, that's a good word right there. You need to quit letting your kids lead you, and you need to lead your kids to where God told them to go. They don't decide if they come to church or not. You decide if they come to church. You are the ones that decide the path of where they are at. Abraham didn't let anything stand in the way. Man, that's a good word. I don't know where you're at right now in your life, Journey Church. But the difference between the place of received vision, hear me now, the difference between the place of received vision, where you get it, and the place where you see the vision, two completely different places. It's a journey, y'all. You know, when you go to the mall and there's that map and it says, you are here, right? And where you want to go is 40,000 flights up and 26 miles down the hall. It's not anywhere close to where you're at. I don't know why I pick the wrong entrance every single time. But it's just like, oh, man. It's so far away. Man, that's what it's like in God's will so many times. And again, this is coming from a student of people. The reason people don't reach that place is because they don't do what it takes. Receiving the dream is free. It's the journey to that dream that costs you everything. Costs you everything. And here's my question. Are you ready to get there? Like, are you ready? Has God, through this message, motivated you with a desire to go, I'm going to get there? I know it's hard. I know it's going to, but I'm going. Let me tell you something. If you give Him your trust, you give Him your butt, you give Him your worship, you give Him your leadership. You give Him your study. You've just put the greatest weapons inside of the hands, the nail-scarred hands of Christ, to take you to a place you never thought in your wildest dreams you could get to. So this is what I want us to do right now. I just want you to close your eyes, right? Worship is just closing your eyes. And some of you right now, you closing your eyes needs to symbolize much more than just closing your eyes. What I mean when I say close your eyes, just forget about the things that are around you right now. Forget about the things that are drowning you, taking you down, your frustrations, your confusion. And take that test, take that problem, just lift it up right now. Just lift it up right now. Some of you may do that symbolically right now just by lifting your hands. Just like, you have your problem in your hands. Just lift up your problems right now in this room. Right there in your seat. And let's sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Just right now, put a hallelujah to this moment. Put a hallelujah right now in your mouth. We sing hallelujah. Come on, right there with your problem. We sing. Some of you allowed your problem to stress you out way more than it should. Instead of you allowing your problem to stress you out, why don't you stress your problem out right now with your worship and your faith? Right now, fuel it, feed it.